Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hey there, friends, and welcome to my favorite time of the day, getting to spend time with you. And it is my favorite day of the weekdays. It is Friday, or Fri-yay, as my kids like to say. And even though I'm very happy that it's Friday, listen, I want to say that my heart still goes out to those of you who were impacted by the recent hurricanes. You are not forgotten. You are still thought about, cared for, prayed for. Honestly, I know what it's like to live in the aftermath of a hurricane, of a storm, and it takes weeks and weeks and weeks. And I remember the year of Hurricane Harvey, which of course caused catastrophic flooding here in the Houston area and damage well beyond that. We had 51 inches of rain in 2 days. We were months out, and actually that was the year that the Astros were in the World Series. I know some of you are groaning right now, but we're not even going to discuss the merits of that. But it was so striking to me because I remember sitting in a neighborhood, which the neighborhood had been decimated, and no one had real walls. It was all plastic walls, and everybody was working in their house, and most of them were gutted down to the studs. But somehow, a lot of people, they wanted to watch the Astros, so they either had some sort of TV or computer or phone that they were streaming. And I remember looking down the street and seeing construction buckets upside down, and people were just sitting down for a minute to watch the baseball game. And this was months after the news had stopped covering it. But just know we are thinking about you. We are praying for you. We urge people to continue to support disaster relief. We have featured a lot of those opportunities here on the show, and that 8 Days of Hope, Samaritan's Purse. And please continue as we go into the holiday season to think about continuing to support, because the efforts to rebuild these communities will be years in the making, and they could sure use your hope and prayers. And so if that is you, if you are impacted and somehow you're listening or you know someone who's impacted, please know that we care about you, we're thinking about you, and we love you very much. So Friday, it is Friday, it's Ask Dr. Nurse Mama Friday, and I'm going to be answering some of your questions. Now, I'm talking about boundaries today. I'm going to talk about some different kinds of boundaries. And the first kind of boundaries I want to talk about are boundaries around our emotions and boundaries on tech. So hang with me here. I have some really important news to share with you, especially for parents of young kids. I'm going to talk about a new report that just came out on Roblox, a very popular game for kids. So do not miss that. That's going to be coming up here in just a minute. So when we are looking at the world that we are living in, honestly, we are living in a really scary world. We are living in an election year, which it's always contentious and a little tense, but this year seems more so, as we just are constantly bombarded by apocalyptic language, thinking the world is going to end if, you know, this outcome happens. And I was looking at it and thinking about it, and I travel a lot to speak. Most of you, my regular listeners, know that my primary area of scholarship as a professor is working against human trafficking. And so I travel all over the country to do that work. And since this election really started to heat up this summer, I've been in Texas, Tennessee, Mississippi, Kansas, Missouri, Arizona, Florida, Hawaii, Alaska, North Carolina, California, Colorado, Washington, Arkansas, and DC. And I might have missed something, but it's interesting because everywhere I go, I like to watch the local news because I want to know more about you who live there. I want to know about more about my listeners, about the communities that I'm serving. It's really important to me to know what's going on in the community. I teach policy. All politics is local. And it doesn't matter where I go. When I turn on the television, I see scary ads that just come on with this doomsday language. And they'll tell you, this political candidate did this. Oh my gosh, you know, and yes, while those have their place, I wonder about us just feeling anxious and on edge. You know, I've been talking about this a lot, but I know it's impacting a lot of you. Just this week, I was in Phoenix for an anti-trafficking conference. We had 1,000 advocates, survivors, all kinds of people who are working in different kinds of areas on that. And even in the middle of one of the speaker stopped and said, you know what? I'm so sorry. I just got distracted and lost my train of thought. I said something that made me think about the election and I just lost my train of thought. Is this happening to anyone else? Are you having trouble working because you just feel like you're glued to the news? Well, that is me. I feel that way too. I feel the need to be informed. I'm coping with trying to get information. That's, you know, that can be healthy to a point, but we all have to admit when that is too much. And, you know, as I was sitting there, it's always a hard conference to go to because you hear so many horrific stories from real life survivors, and you realize the scope of the depravity of our world. I'm not even going to try to hide it from you. It is terrifying, honestly. I was able to hear the lawyers who did the Backpage case, in case any of you, some of you may have heard of that. If you hadn't, that's basically the online advertising forum that rose to prominence selling people. And when I looked at the money that was coming in, I mean, we are talking just unbelievable amounts of money from just ads that were there and the numbers of advertisements that were placed and the numbers of buyers and all of these things. And then looking at the number of people who are trafficked in their families, we're seeing a big increase in this, with the Department of Justice estimating somewhere between 31 and maybe even as high as 40% of kids are even trafficked in their own families. It is enough to make you think, oh my goodness, like I just don't even know how I'm going to go forward with a positive outlook without just being defeated. Now, I want to tell you about one particular speaker that was there. He was on a panel talking about boys who had experienced trafficking, and all of the boys had been trafficked since they were young. And this particular one by his own father, who was a physician, I believe. And he told his story, which of course was heartbreaking and terrible. And, you know, you kind of look and you think, how do you go on? And they were asking him questions about recovery. And he shared very openly to the very large group, he said, I am a Christian and I get hope from my faith. And he talked about how he's writing a book called Broken Boy, Beautiful Man. And it was really instructive to see that we do live in a broken world. We live in a world where there are things that are scary, that are awful, but we also live in a world where there is hope to be found. And we just have to really be intentional in pursuing that and seeing the good come out of things that are so terrible. And I believe that we can do it. But before I go any further, I have a couple of scary things to tell you about, and then I'm going to end on a lighter note and give you some empowerment here. But I do want to talk about this new report that just came out from Hindenburg Research on the popular video game Roblox. Now, you know, I often talk about social media on this platform, and there are a lot of parents who think, no problem, because my kid does not have social media. They will not have social media. There are some cases where that is happening. And if that's you, just consider me giving you a virtual high five over the radio. I think that's fantastic. Honestly, the longer you can wait, the better. And if that's happening in the context of a healthy relationship and your kids are on board with it and you're on board with it, that is the best place to be. But we often don't talk about video games. We have talked about it a little bit, or just online games, just innocuous apps that you can download on your phone. Now, I know that a lot of kids use Roblox, and it is an online game, and it doesn't have an age recommendation. So this is important because there are some social media platforms that say you have to be 13 because that's the age that's set by the Children's Online Privacy Act. But It says suitable for everyone. I'm reading straight from the platform. Suitable for everyone with mild violence or small amounts of unrealistic blood. I don't even know what to say about that, but that's what they consider to be suitable for all ages, small amounts of unrealistic blood. And then it says 9+, suitable for 9 and up with more mild violence or heavy amounts of unrealistic blood. 13+ is suitable for ages 13 and up with frequent instances of more serious violence. And that is concerning. So the lesson in that is there are a lot of things that will appear to be a children's game. But as parents, we must do our due diligence and make sure that we are looking at games. There are games that can appear innocuous at first, can look totally innocent, but they have embedded pornographic videos in them, or they have the ability to communicate. And so sometimes I think just off the app store, we're trying to entertain our kids, we're trying to distract them, we're trying to get stuff done, and we just don't look at it. But we must look at it. We must look at the ages. So in this research report, I'm going to read to you a quote from the research report. And here is an advisory. This is not for little ears. So you may want to, I'm going to say it softly, but it's still pretty rough. So go ahead and adjust your listening audience if you need to. And I will be softening some of the words from here, but this is essentially the quote with some of my filtering. Okay. So the report says, we found Roblox to be an X-rated pedophile hellscape. Okay, did you hear that? That is intense language right there. Replete with users attempting to groom our avatars, groups openly trading child pornography, widely accessible sex games, violent content, and extremely abusive speech. Now, Roblox has, according to this report, around 80 million daily users on its gaming platform under the age of 16. That's not total. That's 80 million children. And I know that's a harsh phrase, but that is something that should catch parents by, that should really catch parents' attention, that we have 80 million children under 16, and this report is calling it an X-rated pedophile hellscape. That is not generally places that we're going to send our kids to play, but we know that one in five of those users under 16 is under 9 years of age. And the average user plays the game for about 2.5 hours a day. Now, let me tell you what they did in this report. So basically, they set up some accounts to see what would happen if they set up an account as a minor. So they first attempted to set up an account under the name of a very notorious pedophile to see if Roblox would screen that out, saying, you know, would that be there? And that username was taken and a lot of variants of it. And so after they found a username, they listed their age as under 13 to see if kids were being exposed to adult content. And just by plugging adult, and I'm reading straight from the report, into the Roblox search bar, they found a group called Adult Studios with 3,334 members openly trading child pornography, which, by the way, that's not a term that I prefer to use. That's a legal term. We usually use the term child sexual abuse materials or CSAM, and that's the term that I'll be using from here forward. But soliciting explicit acts from minors. And some of these statistics were just eye-opening. They tracked some of the members of Adult Studios. They found 38 groups. One had 103,000 members that were openly discussing explicit things and trading CSAM. So those chat rooms that were trading those had no child restrictions. And that is definitely concerning. So I know I have some of you really, really afraid. Don't worry. When we come back, I'm going to give you some tips to teach your child to use games wisely. Now, I encourage you to pray about it, to explore the games that your kids are playing. There may be some games that they don't need to be playing anymore. But there are also some ways that you can make sure that they're safe, because we know that gaming is really popular and that kids game with other kids. So I'll give you some tips to do that. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this break. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you, we need to save them. That is why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that is a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on us. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies, and that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps to rescue 5 babies. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Welcome back, friends. That song is Make Room by Community Music, Alyssa Smith, and The Church Will Sing. And listen, that is a great reminder for us to lay things down, to surrender the things that are not within our control, and to trust a God who is. Now, today, I'm talking about boundaries. We're talking about some tech boundaries. I've had a lot of questions about this new Roblox report that's coming out. I want to make something clear. I want to clarify something I said in the first segment. I try to be really accurate. I told you that I was reading their age limits straight from the website. I'm looking at it more closely. That's an AI-generated overview of those, and so there is some interpretation there, and sometimes we're all learning how to use AI and realizing that sometimes AI is being used when we don't even realize it's being used. So I just want to make sure that I'm really specific and being accurate in the information that I'm giving to you. I've been talking about this report from Roblox that really talked about this being a pedophile hellscape. I know you need to make sure that you are adjusting your listening audience. I'm going to say this as softly as I can, but this is something that parents absolutely need to be aware of. I know a lot of kids, I see a lot of kids in practice who play Roblox, and it's sad, isn't it, that we see games that can be so good, they can be developmentally appropriate, they can be entertaining, and then are just not good. They're taken over by people with very nefarious intentions. And let me assure you that this is a space that I know very well, and it is very real, and you should be concerned. You shouldn't be fear-based. You should be faith-informed. And having a little knowledge and protecting your kids is something that's really important to do. So let me go back to finishing telling you about the Roblox report and basically what they did. So when they were looking at it, essentially what they found was that it was very, very easy for them to register as a child and to be exposed to explicit material, to have messages. There were games registered as a child. I'm reading from the report here. Registered as a child, we were able to access games like Escape to Epstein Island or Diddy Party, which of course we've all been following that story in the news. And there are extreme, like just I'm looking at the report. I encourage you, if you're a parent, to go and look at the report yourself online, and you can see all of the things. I won't take too much time to go through more of it, but some of the other things don't even have to do with explicit content, but violent content, like beat up people outside of 7-Eleven simulator or beat up the pregnant. I mean, these things are just heinous and absolutely horrible. I won't tell you anymore. Just, I think I've told you enough to know that it is definitely concerning. It is definitely concerning. So let's just stop here and say the most important thing that you can do to protect your child online, the first thing that you should do is to pray for them. Honestly, you really need to do that. You need to pray for them every day, multiple times a day, and pray that God would protect them in the spaces and places that you cannot, because we are not with our children 24/7. We cannot control everything that they're exposed to. In a world that is saturated with screens, they're going to see things that we wish they hadn't seen. I mean, that's just a reality of life, but we can prepare them for that and we can pray. So the first thing I would encourage you to pray is to pray for your children's protection. And I'm reading a verse from Psalm, "He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart." And we pray that God will protect our children, that he would cover them with his hand, that he would protect them from anything that is not of him. We also pray that they will have discernment. That is really important to have. And praying from Philippians, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless in the day of Christ. That's from Philippians 1. So we pray that God would grant our children discernment to know what is given by him, what is coming from the enemy, and that God would give them the courage to stand up for what is right. We also, a third prayer is to pray for understanding. From Ephesians chapter 1, "I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better." And we pray that God would help our children to grow in understanding, seeking him in all they do so that they may know him and share him with others. And a shout out to my sister, who happens to also be a nurse practitioner, who wrote those prayers and shared those after she appeared on a show with me. And those are prayers that we have agreed to pray together over our children just as often as we worry about it. That's a good rule of thumb. As often as you're worrying about something, are you praying about it as much as you're worrying about it? And all you have to do, I say this all the time, you can turn your cares into prayers. Turn those worries, turn that internal monologue where you're thinking, but what if, and what about this, and oh my goodness, this, turn that into a dialogue with your Heavenly Father. Just immediately turn that into a prayer and open a conversation with God. God, I'm worried that my kids are going to be exposed to something I don't want them to be exposed to. Would you help me to trust you? If you have that discipline, you're already spending the time worrying. And worrying is no fun. Doesn't make us feel good at all. But we can find relief in prayer. I've talked about this, the spiritual discipline of prayer and the health benefits. It lowers your blood pressure. It literally helps your heart. But some practical things that you can do, because God expects us to be good stewards of our children. Here's some practical tips, and I'm sharing these from an organization called Enough is Enough. It's a good resource for internet safety. It's founded by Donna Rice, and you can find it at internetsafety101.org. So if you're wanting more information, I'm sharing this from their guide. They have a guide on gaming. There's a lot of great tools out there. This is just the one that I'm going to share with you today. So first of all, voice chat. If I was a parent, honestly, I would disable voice chat on the game. I just wouldn't let them do that unless they were way older and we'd had a lot of conversation and they had shown that they had used the platform responsibly. But voice chat is a magnet for predators. It is easy access. They see, okay, I can talk to this kid. That's going to be way easier than trying to chat online or that kind of thing. Also, be aware of voice masking technology. So masking sometimes is used as a safety feature, but predators use it to pretend they are someone they're not. Now, AI only needs 3 seconds of your voice to generate an entire vocabulary of words to carry on a human conversation. So what predators will do is take that AI and they will mask their voice to sound like they are a 15-year-old girl, like they are a boy, the same age as someone, their teenager. And kids are developmentally wired to be concrete thinkers. They are not skeptical like we are as adults. And when someone presents themselves as a peer, they just take that at face value. But we have to make sure our kids are aware of strangers, making sure gamers under 15, they really should only play with people they don't know who their parents have approved. If your child is playing games with someone else around the world, around the country, then really you should walk them through that process. How do you vet someone? How do you make sure they're safe? How do you know that they are who they say they are? That shouldn't be just like the analogy that I use is we wouldn't just go to a 12-year-old, a 9-year-old even. Imagine a 9-year-old. We wouldn't go up to them and give them the keys to the car and just say, okay, just be safe. All right. Don't do anything dumb and go have fun. Like we're going to teach them. But sometimes it's hard because we don't want to teach them about online games. I know I have spent many an hour as a mom looking at different internet building things or even some things that are educationally good or so they say. You know, you think, I don't really want to spend time with that. But if your child is going to have that privilege, we have that responsibility to make sure that it's safe. Now, also for screen names, it's called a gamer tag. Don't use your actual name. So kids will go in there and when it says, put your name in, they put their name in. But they should have a name that allows them some degree of anonymity because what predators are looking for is an actual name. Then they can go to social media platforms and start searching that name. And many kids don't have privacy settings on their social media. So then I can look and see, oh, you're mad at your parents. Oh, you like volleyball. Oh, what are your interests so that I can cultivate a conversation with you? Here's another thing. Kick out any players that make children feel uncomfortable. Ignore, block, and tell a trusted adult. I have shared this story before, but I recently did I've actually done it multiple times now, an internet safety class for 8th graders. And I asked them, how many of you were approached by a stranger online? And there were many, many hands up in the room. And I said, how many of them said something that made you feel uncomfortable or something that you think they shouldn't have said? And there were still a lot of hands up. I said, how many of you have shared this information with your parents? Every hand went down, literally every single hand, because children are wired to be afraid of punishment, and their punishment is having that platform taken away. That's a knee-jerk reaction. But if we can give them some tools up front that help them stay safe, and if they know what's going to happen when they come and tell us that something happened, then that can be really helpful because they know they can come to you and tell you this is what happened. And then, and you can tell them beforehand, we might block the game or, you know, we might put some more safety features or whatever that may be. You should tell your children, make sure if they're on any sort of gaming platform that they know how to report and or block griefers. That is people who are basically harassing other people on online gaming. Make sure they know how to use that feature to report them when they see explicit content. If they see cyberbullying or abusive, inappropriate behavior, content or language, that's really important. Kids also need to know about grooming tactics of predators and traffickers. Now, that scares a lot of parents because they think, I don't want to expose my kids to something they haven't been exposed to. But if you are placing them in a game, their likelihood of exposure is great. It is great that they will be exposed to something. Again, sometimes these are things that are innocuous, but that are hacked or that are intentionally look that they're meant to deceive us. And sometimes we can be deceived. So they need to know that if someone online you don't know is really friendly, says really nice things, gives you a lot of compliments, offers you gifts, then you need to come and tell me about that because that can actually be something dangerous. Now, let me remind you, that fear-based tactics are not very effective. Fear-based tactics are effective in generating fear, but they are ineffective in generating behavior change. Kids need to feel informed. They are naturally wired to feel invincible. They think, yeah, something bad might happen, but it's not going to happen to me. But we have to make sure that they know and help them reason through this. So sometimes you can use a tool like Socratic questioning, where you're doing this sequential questioning, where you're helping them to develop thinking skills and giving them some scenarios. Well, what would you do if this, or what would you do if that? And how would you handle this? And how do you know that person is there? That is really important because they need to have some buy-in there. And remember, and this is from Enough is Enough, like I told you, but I put an exclamation point after this one. The use of games and other technology is a privilege for kids. It is not a right. And sometimes I think our kids feel like it's a right, like they should be able to use it anytime, anywhere. And parents are afraid to take it away. And I have personally seen kids physically assault their parents for taking away their game. And you can go on social media and you can watch a whole line of reels that are dedicated to that, that will show you exactly that. And there are a lot more problems there than just a game, for sure. But we shouldn't allow those kinds of things to take over their lives. Here's one of the most important things. No child is immune to online threats. Parents are the first line of defense. And that is so true. So we need to be their first line of defense. And we need to know, you need to know exactly what game your child is playing, who they're playing with it. Play the game yourself. Spend time alongside them to learn about it. Teach your children, don't ever share any personally identifiable information, your date of birth, your address, your full name, your school, anything that shows what school you go to. And build an atmosphere of trust with your child regarding their online activities. Have regular conversations about good and bad experiences that they might have. Now, gaming is addictive, and we see a lot of debate in the medical field about what's an addiction and what is not, and what's a criteria. We have gambling as an addiction, and gaming really is very similar to that. And we know that anecdotally that it exists, that it has an addictive nature. So don't be afraid to use those parental controls to manage the online features. Don't be afraid to tell them they can't have certain communication features and to set time limits and to control their spending on there. Don't be afraid to use those privacy settings to monitor their game use and make sure that you are looking at the ratings of the games that you are looking at, and all of those things there. And actually, Enough is Enough gives you a family contract for smartphones and digital devices. That may be something that you want to check out. There are a lot of other good resources that you can find online. I find that clear expectations and ongoing communication is just the best way to keep your kids safe. Well, when we come back, we'll talk a little bit. You might have heard of the Monday blues, Thursday throwbacks, Friday vibes, but have you heard of the Sunday scaries? I'll talk about that when we come back. I'll see you on the other side of this break.
We live in a day when America's families are under attack like never before.
Buddy Smith, Senior Vice President of the American Family Association.
The war against biblical principles rages on numerous fronts. The internet, Hollywood, Washington, D.C., America's corporate boardrooms, and the list goes on. At American Family Association, we're committed to standing against the enemies of God, the enemies of your family. And we recognize it's an impossible task without God's favor and your partnership. Thank you for being faithful to pray for this ministry, to give financially, and to respond to our calls for activism. What you do on the home front is crucial to what we do on the battlefront. We praise God for your faithfulness, and may He give us many victories in the battles ahead as we work together to restore our nation's biblical foundations.
Sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art,
Welcome back, friends. That song could just go on. It's one of my favorites. I don't know what my favorite version of that is. I'm just thinking about that and thinking, what is my favorite version? I could probably do maybe a top three if I really tried. But that one is by Matt Redman, and it's How Great Thou Art Until That Day. And until that day that God calls us home, we are here in a world that can be really scary. But listen, I want to give you some hope for Friday. We've been talking about the report that just came out on Roblox and the things that are going on there. And I know that children are being exploited online, and it's so important for us to have healthy boundaries around our technology, whether that be gaming, whether that be our phone use. And I would encourage you to go and check out the Dr. Nurse Mama Coaching Minutes. Now, you can find those on AFR, on the app, any podcast platform, anywhere you listen to the show, you can find it. And each week, I give you a habit for healthy families. We are doing one habit a week, so we're going to have 52 habits. We're on week 43, which means we're getting so much closer to Christmas. And one of the questions that I've been getting asked quite a bit is, have you put up your Christmas tree yet? And the answer is yes, of course I have. Yes, I have. I have done that. I am ready. It is never too early for me to wish joy to the world. I know all of my after Thanksgiving friends, they're just being so tender-hearted with me, which is the habit of the week, being kind and tender-hearted to one another, forgiving just as in Christ God forgave us. That's from Ephesians 4:32. Last week, we talked about being forgiving. This week, we're talking about being tender-hearted. But the reason I'm telling you about that now is because there are a lot of habits. We spend a lot of time during the summer talking about some habits for your tech. And so if you're thinking, do I have healthy boundaries around my tech? Go back and listen to some of these tech habits. So we talked about tech tidying. We've talked about tech tracking, tech free times, transparency in tech free zones, about tech and pictures. I mean, we have a lot of information there for you. They're just 1 minute each, and it's a good just little check, a little accountability check. I am trying to do these all along with you. You may have heard me on with Wesley Wildman during Share-a-thon, sharing our struggles and trying to be better about this and looking for progress and not perfection. So don't be afraid, parents, to put some boundaries around your tech. Now, another thing that will give you a really healthy boundary is to think about your Sunday. Now, we did a show not too long ago with Kathy Lipp, who had a book called Sabbath Soup. That's what it's called, right? I'm looking at my producer, right? Okay, all right. I'm getting a check and getting a head nod. That is correct. And it really made me think about my Sunday. Now, we all talk about Sabbath, and you no doubt have heard a lesson or done a Bible study or a devotional or something like that. But I see that in this increase in talking about something called Sunday scaries. Now, Sundays is supposed to be a day of rest, but we see people starting to feel very anxious on Sundays. Now, that can be for a lot of different reasons. Some of us, we just don't want to go to work on Monday. Like if you have a Monday through Friday work week, there's a lot of people that do and they think, ugh, I loved my weekend. I don't want to go back. There are a lot of kids who think, I don't want to go to school. Maybe kids feel safe in their home environment, but school just brings a lot of pressure. They think of kids face so much pressure in school these days. They have a lot of academic pressure. And we also think about just the societal pressures, what's going to happen this week, what's going to happen in the news. Sometimes we feel like we can be distracted on the weekends. But there is a real phenomenon that some people feel and feeling anxious on a Sunday night and looking at the week. So let's think about some of the boundaries that we put around Sundays and what we can do to set our families up for a good week. Now, I am going to think that next week, I'm going to project the next week is going to be a pretty anxious week for the country. It's going to continue to be that way. We're the week before an election. I imagine anxiety is just going to increase. So I want to challenge you right now here on Friday. What are you going to do on Sunday to set your family up for the week? Now, I want you to think about, what is your Sunday routine? Do you have a routine on Sunday? Well, emphasize that to your family and take joy in that. Don't take it for granted. Think about if you have a church family that you are really connected to, or a Sunday school class, or life group, or connect group, or whatever you call those groups. Do you have a group of people that you connect with, a place to go and worship on Sunday? Are you sitting down for a meal with your family? That would be really important. I'm going to encourage you all on Sunday night of this week to call a family meeting. Now, some of you already do this, so you think, I've got this down. Some of you think, my kids are going to be so suspicious if I do that. Well, great. Use that to your advantage. I really encourage you to call a family meeting on Sunday night and do a check-in with everyone. Find out what they're doing for the week. Ask each member of your family, what do you have going on this week and how can we pray for you? And then pray. Oh, I'm getting goosebumps, honestly, even thinking about it, because I'm just thinking about all the families. If you will do this, what a great way to set your kids up, to know that they're seen, they're heard, they're known, they're loved, they're cared about, and they're prayed for. I mean, that is a great way to start. It's so simple, but it's somehow not easy. So sit down your family, whether that's on a FaceTime, maybe you do a FaceTime if you have grown kids, or whatever it is. Be creative. Maybe that's in person. Maybe that's a text message string. But sit down, everybody, on Sunday night and just say, what does everybody have going on this week and how can I be praying for you? And then pray for them right then and there. Just stop and do a round robin and just pray for everybody. That would be really important. The second thing that I want you to do after you do that in this little family meeting on Sunday is to practice intentional gratitude. That can be really simple. It can be really complex. It can be just simply everyone sharing something they're thankful for. It may be something that you decide to do, to have a little jar and make slips of paper that you put something in, and maybe you read those at a later time. You don't even have to say it right then. And maybe you will do that every Sunday night until Thanksgiving. Wouldn't that be amazing to have those things to pull out, to realize that you're grateful for? I've talked about gratitude so much, and gratitude has great health benefits. It really does decrease our anxiety. It makes us breathe easier. It lowers our blood pressure. It protects our heart and mind. So the second thing is to cultivate gratitude. All right, then after that, if you want a bonus in this family meeting, plan something fun for Monday. Now, that could be as simple as just saying, hey, I want everybody to know we're having our favorite family meal. Maybe you usually only have pizza on Friday and you're going to have pizza on Monday. But what is something fun? Maybe you'll stop by the donut shop on the way to school. Maybe you're going to plan a family game night. Something little. Just have them something to look forward to, because this can really help on a Sunday night. If they know they have something fun, something even really small to look forward to the next day, that can be really helpful. Another thing that's really important after you do this, so that's those two things. First of all is pray. Ask everybody about their schedule and pray for them. Say, what are you doing this week and how can I pray for you? Saying, what are we thankful for? And maybe a fun Monday, a Monday fun day. Then prioritize your sleep. Sleep is so important to how we feel. So this is really important to put some boundaries around your sleep. A lot of those have to do with tech boundaries. So maybe you do something revolutionary and you decide not to have your phone right by your bed. That would be a fantastic thing to do, because you feel like you have to get up, you check it in the night. And here's the thing, I've talked about this before, it's in the healthy habits as well, but when you use your phone, our phones have blue light, and it's thought that that blue light decreases melatonin, suppresses melatonin production in our brain, and we can't sleep very well. So do something different before you go to bed. Don't just scroll on your phone and then go straight to sleep. Do something different for sleep. Having a bedtime routine is really important, whether you're a teen or a toddler, or you're a grown-up, having some sort of routine that you have, whether that's reading a little bit or just brushing your teeth, washing your face, spraying your pillow with a scent, whatever it is, whatever your bedtime routine is, that is really important. Now, when you're looking at the week ahead, these things are important too, making sure that you have time to move, making sure that you are physically active. I know that sounds so cliche, but that really is important because physical activity is a great way to decrease stress. And if our bodies aren't tired and our minds are tired, that can really create a disruption in our circadian rhythm. So these are all things that are so simple, but we just often don't think about. So really think about how you're eating, how you're sleeping, how you're moving. That can be really important. And don't be afraid on Sunday to carve out a little time for some self-care. And that may be just, what are you going to do to rest on Sunday? Because we all need rest. There is something that you're going to do that could wait. What are you going to do to rest? That is really, really important. Now, I know a lot of you are starting to think about, you may be thinking about Sunday, and we're thinking about anxiety, about the election, about the week coming up. There are many of you who are starting to have some real anxiety about family time at the holidays. And I can relate. I know what this is like, and you're already thinking, what are we going to do? And I would really encourage you to start thinking about that now and to make a plan and to be courageous enough to make that plan, to set some healthy boundaries in your life. It is okay to set healthy boundaries to protect your emotional well-being, to minimize conflict. And sometimes that may be not seeing or not going to certain family gatherings. And sometimes that may be limiting the time that you spend there. And I just want to give you some encouragement that that's okay to do. Now, if you feel like you're in that situation, you probably are in a place where you need some counsel. You need some wise counsel. So whatever that looks like for you, and a lot of times with family troubles like that, we don't say anything because, well, we don't want to be that person that has family conflict, or we maybe feel guilty about it, or we just don't even want to think about it, don't know what we're going to do. We don't want other people's advice, but everybody needs a wise counselor in their life. So who is that for you? Who is going to give you some honest, wise, dependable advice? That may be someone from your church. It may be a mental health professional. It may be just, it may be your spouse. But have a conversation with them and share your feelings about it, because the sooner that you can make a decision about what you're going to do and what you're not going to do, then the sooner you can stop worrying about what you're going to do. And I see a lot of families who have this. So some of the things that you can start thinking about and talking about in creating those healthy boundaries is, first of all, communicating your expectations, just saying, this is what we're going to do for the holidays. And know that there will be some people who don't like it. There are lots of families who feel stretched between two families, and they have conflicting traditions, and they want to be a part of both. But, you know, they know if they go to one, they're going to disappoint the other. Just know that God has given you your family, your spouse, your children to steward. And when you make those decisions, not everybody's going to be happy all the time, but that is okay. That is really okay. And so some other things that you can do to start thinking about it is to think about what that will look like. And it is really hard because sometimes we think, well, is this being disrespectful to my family member? Or, you know, is this not honoring my parents? I see so many people who are talking about that. And I want you to know, we're going to be talking about this more as the holidays approach, and how and when, as a Christian, you should set healthy boundaries. I'm going to give you some great resources on that, and we'll talk about how, when, where, and why you should do that, because I know this is something that a lot of you struggle with. But for right now, I would encourage you just to start praying about it. Just if you are sitting there thinking, That is me. I am already worried about what we're going to do. Start praying about it. Ask God to give you wisdom. Ask God to give you clarity to see the situation honestly and start to talk to your support group. Who is that wise counsel that you can start? And then stay tuned for the rest of October and November, because we'll be revisiting this and talking specifically about this. If you are wanting to look in more, a book that I recommend is called Boundaries by Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. John Townsend. That is a really great book, and they have a lot of variations of that book. But listen, in the meantime, in the middle of this scary world, may the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And listen, I will see you right back here on Monday. And I'm going to be asking you, did you have that family meeting Sunday night? I'll see you then.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.